as I said before, we are Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are streaming on Radio St. Pete and stpetesportsconnection.com. Just another little reminder to tune in to 96.7 FM, which is also the Bay's local music leader. They have over 830 local artists.
Oh, wow.
And they're growing at an incredible rate with Jay Cobb, the man with the plan, as music director. And at 12:15, we're going to have Madman Matt come on and give us a little feedback on what's happening. He does the Bucks Watch Party every Sunday here with Ferg at the fabulous Sports Bar and Grill downtown here. Right now we are live, as I said before, at 13th Street and Central Avenue. And the crowds are starting to come in now, and for the game day of college.
Yep, I'm definitely starting to see a few different shirts, jerseys, et cetera, different teams. So it's always a great experience to watch sports here. Always a good experience to watch sports here at Ferg's, because you never know like what group of fans are going to be here. There might be like some Michigan fans at one table and some, you know, Florida fans at another. It's such an awesome experience to watch sports here.
It is, and you never know what you're going to see. Just like what you said. I mean, I just saw some ladies. We may grab them later. The girls in Wisconsin walk. They were coming in. There was about seven or eight of them in red shirts. We had a couple of other guys, extremely colorful. I thought maybe my buddy here was going to be wearing his colorful shirt. Did you see the blazers that these other guys just wore in?
I did. It's great. I just made sure that you were live and good now, and let me go around the other side, and we'll talk a few minutes.
All right. Perfect. This is Madman Mac that I'm talking to. He is he's another legend here at Ferg's, and he's been here for 28 years helping to make the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill a really fun place. So, Mac, tell me a little bit about, I know you had been a retired policeman.
That is correct.
For 32 years, you said earlier?
32 years I did for the city of St. Petersburg.
And then you became Madman Mac. Tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Well, I actually became Madman Mac before I did the police work. My brother used to work in radio, and he DJed on the side at roller skating rinks and stuff like that. And as a kid, he was kind of my mentor, and I said, oh, I want to do that. And then I finally got him to show me how to do it, and then we started our own company, and he's since retired. But it's a lot of fun, and brings joy to a lot of people.
So besides the Bucks Watch Party, what are some of the other events that you're doing?
Well, obviously here at Ferg's, we do all the private Christmas parties. We got a bunch of bands that are coming up. I don't have the schedule with me, unfortunately, right at the moment, but we're usually DJing here every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday's NFL. Today we're here with all the college games. We do the audio for the big games. Obviously, this morning is Baylor.
Obviously, Baylor. So what are your thoughts about Baylor?
Not a big fan of either one, I'm going to be honest with
you.
So I'm not really pulling for one team or the other. Now, later on, the big game, Georgia and Alabama, that's a different story.
That's going to be a really big game at, 4 o'clock today? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, are you going to stay strictly, are you an Alabama or a Georgia man?
I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay.
I think they're underdogs from what I've been told, but I think they're going to pull it off today.
Well, I think the two coaches have an interesting history as well, and I think it's going to be interesting in that aspect of having worked together before. And I'm kind of going to go for Georgia. Going to go for number one right now.
Are we going to put a little wager on it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. What are you drinking these days?
Well, I'll wink at you, and we'll bet a Pepsi. How's that?
A Pepsi is perfect because I'm a water and lemon girl myself. So I think it'll be interesting and an interesting game today. I was just talking about the 8 o'clock game that's going to be on tonight, which is Michigan and Iowa, and that is going to be quite the game as well.
Yes, it will be. And speaking of Iowa, obviously you're here filling in today for Mike Richard.
I am, and I know he's freezing his little buns up there with his little scarf and little probably Pendleton little hat on.
Well, what I was told is he's out doing an investigative report today, and he's at the Harborside International Golf Course Center outside of Chicago. At least that's what I was told. I think he's up there maybe playing around or probably cheating or at the 19th hole. I'm not sure.
I know he likes the 19th hole, and on the tee is the other part of Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. So, we're hoping down the road to get onto some of those golf courses and do some interviewing and do some radio shows with some of those big tournaments and events.
Well, he told me last week that we have something in common, that Arnold Palmer is our favorite golfer.
Wow. Wow. Interesting.
But he had to outdo me and tell me how he met Arnold Palmer and all this other stuff. I haven't had that privilege, and I haven't yet got to tell him my Arnold Palmer story with my dad.
Which is?
Well, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and my dad, who also, his idol was Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
My dad worked construction, and he had called his boss and said, "Listen, Arnold's playing, and I want to go to this, see him play." And all his big bosses said, "No, no, no, you can't go." Well, what did my dad do? He went anyway.
Went anyway, right?
And lo and behold, on black and white TV, he's standing there at one of the greens, and his boss calls him the next day and goes, "So, how did things go at the job site yesterday?" And Dad, "Oh, it was no problems. He goes, "Well, I sure thought I saw somebody look just like you at the golf course."
Oh,
and so he got caught. And then his boss said, "If you're going to do that again, you better invite me next time. Then it'll be okay."
Yeah. Wow. We had that's quite a story, too. But, it always seems like whenever we're trying to do something and not get caught, that what happens? We end up getting caught.
Yep.
I'm going to have Michael come on and just say hi as well. And Michael is another author that has written a couple interesting books that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I might, I think one of them is called Curves at the Crossroads. Curveball.
Close.
I'm close. Well, he's in his second edition, and I was looking at the cover yesterday, which I really, really liked, because I'm in my fourth edition with my Flip Side of Glory, and I think I want to know whoever is your artist. I really would love to have them do something for me. Absolutely.
Very cool. Also, I was told, I think in like 10 minutes, Mike's supposed to call in live on the air. At least, I'm not sure. Maybe he's telling me a fib. I'm not sure.
That's news to me, but it would be great to hear from him.
Yeah.
He texted me earlier this morning, told me to make sure to break a leg. So I said, "All right, I'll try to do that and not hit my head on the darn stairwell again," which I've done about 3 times.
I don't have that problem. I go right under.
So I want to know how you got the name. How did that come about?
Well, last name is McTavish.
Yeah.
So everybody called me Mac.
Right.
And they said because of my antics and the way that I am, I was Madman Mac. So it stuck with me ever since.
Was there another Mad Max?
There was Mad Max, the movie, M-A-X, but I'm M-A-C.
Mel Gibson. Yep. And so you must be doing some other crazy things to get that name.
Well, I can't give out all my secrets.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just curious.
I hear you.
I'm just curious. As I said before, we are live right now at the infamous Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We are the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, streaming on St. Pete Radio, RadioSt.Pete.com, and we are streaming live on StPeteSportsConnection.com. So just a reminder to pick us up on all of our new seven stations that we are on, thanks to our Tan Talk affiliate out of Clearwater. So we are going again from the Tampa to the Sunshine Skyway, all the way back up to Zephyr Hills, and we're covering Pinellas, Pasco, and Hillsborough counties now. So we're very excited to be able to expand out.
All of Champa Bay.
All of Champa Bay, that's right. And talking about Champa Bay, we've got the Bucks playing in Atlanta tomorrow, which is going to be an interesting game. I think it's
1 o'clock game, I believe.
It's going to determine our NFC championship, yay or nay. So that's going to be interesting.
Should be a great game.
You have any thoughts about Antonio Brown and Mike Edwards on that situation? I guess there was one other player, too, that got suspended. But Antonio Brown, he was already suspended for two games. Yeah. So I think that'll be an interesting call. You know, me personally, I know they have to do mandates. I know they have to do mandates to protect the players and the fans. I understand that. What I don't understand is if you're objecting to getting the vaccine, maybe you've had COVID, for instance. I have several friends that have had COVID, and their antibodies are way high. Why not just make them, like they're doing with LeBron James right now, just keep getting retested before they're allowed to get on the field or in the locker room? It just seemed to me, you know, of course I'm a little different, kind of a little rebel, but what are your thoughts on that, Mac?
Well, I don't like to get political.
Okay.
I really feel that it's each individual's choice, and I'm not going to castigate somebody that's anti-vaccine or somebody that says yes, you should get it. That's your views. I mean, it's just like the presidential election. It is each individual's views, and whoever their candidate was, whoever they voted for, that's what makes America great.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And you know, we never know where our world is going, but you know, we just pray. I just pray for our nation all the time, and I hope that we can all come together as a nation and as people, first and foremost, and just start really coming back. I know the COVID thing was a real tough time for a lot of us, and I'm so glad that at least in the state of Florida right now, our mandates are a little bit more flexible.
Yes, we're working.
Yes, and you know, otherwise we couldn't be here today at, where are we at?
The world famous Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, right across from Tropicana Field.
Right across from Tropicana Field. Speaking of Tropicana Field, we're going to be talking a little bit later about the MLB lockout. Any thoughts on that?
I hope it doesn't happen. That's my best thoughts on that. Especially in today's time with the COVID and everything, people, they need their baseball.
We need our baseball, and I'm really praying that our team can stay here. You know, Tropicana Field has been such an icon here in our community here in St. Petersburg, and I really hope that we can keep Major League Baseball here. It's hard to think that they might go to Tampa, and we'll probably have Michael talk a little bit about that as well. He's got his Respect Tampa Bay shirt on right now. I love it.
Well, I hope they stay here too. Once again, I think they've gotten involved in more political nonsense than really needs to. They need to keep the politics out of baseball.
Yeah.
And let's play ball.
Well, you know, I know with my husband being a professional football player and how the collective bargaining agreements can really escalate into things, and apparently this is what this is all about, because it's been 5 years and since the collective bargaining agreement in 2016, so it'll be kind of interesting to see where that goes. And later on in the show, we're going to talk a little bit about, maybe help our audience understand what a lockout is and how it works. and because a lot of people don't understand what collective bargaining agreements are and how they work and how a lockout can. I mean, I really did. I watched Mr. Cash with the locks on the gates, and players aren't allowed. Coaches aren't allowed. Nobody's allowed. It's a complete what they call a lockout.
Yep. Literally.
Literally.
Randy, we might have one of those master keys around here somewhere, though. We'll go pick the lock.
We can go pick the lock, yeah. I needed one of those a couple of years ago when I locked myself out of my house in the middle of the night letting my dog out in my skivvies.
You know, no wonder the neighbors were talking.
My neighbors were talking. I had to go to the president of the town home association and knock on their door, and his wife is coming down looking at me like,
what are you doing here?
What the heck?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, after that you get a key, a hidden key somewhere, right? So tell me a little bit about your family. You said you got a brother.
I have an older brother. He's retired from Tampa Fire Department. He was a lieutenant for Tampa Fire Department.
Oh, awesome.
My dad, who is 93 and healthier than me still.
Wow.
Lives over in Sun City Center with his new wife, Ann.
Has he been married long, or is this his longevity?
Well, my mother, who passed away.
God rest her soul.
They were married forever. And once she passed away, it was funny because my dad actually came to me and asked me for permission to get married again. I told him, Dad, enjoy your life.
And, aww.
But he's an avid golfer. And I said, he's almost 94 now. And
wow.
He gets out and golfs almost every day. And
but you know, that's
still
the beauty,
beats me.
That's the beauty of golf, too. I mean, you can do it at any age. It really doesn't matter. It's like pickleball, too, but a little bit more active there. But I think, you know, as long as we stay active and eat right, you know, praise God, we can hopefully keep us on this earth a little bit longer.
Beautiful.
Well, right now you are listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we are now part of the HUVI, and I'm going to spell it H-U-V-I, headquartered in Orlando. What is HUVI? HUVI is Finish for Fun, and HUVI delivers fun through their video streaming platform where sports meet lifestyles, and you can tune in to myhuvi.com as all of our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection broadcast will be streamed on our own video channel. I'm so excited because we've got 10 different sports and podcasts scheduled to launch in the next few months. From where?
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, downtown St. Petersburg.
Absolutely. 13th and Central Avenue. If you've never been down here, you've got to come down. And I want to just let you know a little bit more about what HUVI's also providing, because they're providing opportunities. If you would like to showcase your business with an extremely attractive price point and free streaming video audience combined with a 3-county radio and social media website presence, then you need to check out HUVI.com, H-U-V-I. Because we are going to be doing some recordings directly upstairs at our new Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection studio.
I was up there this morning. It's really neat.
It is, and it's just, you know, it's a work in progress right now, so we're hoping to have it all in place in the next couple of months. You can stay tuned for more exciting updates. We'll give you those on myhuvi.com and the St. Pete Sports Connection TV channel, which is the sportsconnection.tv channel on HUVI.tv. For championship caliber content, you can provide your business competitive, trackable results from your sponsorship opportunities with that. So I'm very excited that we're coming on board with HUVI. It was interesting. I met Roger Warren through my group with the Florida Rising Stars and Florida Sports Hall of Fame. And they had Varsity Sports Network, and then they have come in and started HUVI. So, Mike,
Very
I
cool.
want to thank you. And Mac, Mike's going to be coming up.
Yep.
Mac, Thank you so much.
I'm going
right
to get
now.
Back to the turntables.
Get and, back to the turntables and then come back and visit if you can.
Great. Thanks, Brandy.
All right. As always, love and hugs.
Have a great Champa Bay Day.
Champa Bay Day. All right. So, Michael has a ribbon. Michael Lortz. Michael is an author and writer. Local here out of Tampa, and
there we go.
Good to have you on the show today, Michael.
Thanks, Brandy. I appreciate it.
So tell me a little bit more about Michael, and you've written a couple of books. Tell me little bit about those, and how did you get started as a writer?
Oh my goodness, how long have I been writing? I'm a like Cameron, who may be a guest here today. I'm a graduate of Florida State as well. So when he was on a guest, he was a guest on a show here with Mike a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. He and I were like, yeah, we were at Florida State at the same time. You know, he was playing football. I was, you know.
Well, you were there at the same time? So you're the same age range?
I was in grad school when he was playing football.
Okay.
So he was undergrad and I was in grad school.
Okay,
so
awesome.
I'm a little bit older than him, by a few years. But the name sounded familiar. It was funny. He came up. I was like, I know your name from somewhere. He's like, I went to Florida State. I was like, all the bells went off, you know. So it was cool. It was cool. He and I caught up over Florida State. So I've been writing, I guess, professionally, if you will, so paid for my work, since writing for the college newspaper at Florida State. So for probably about 20 years now. I've done a lot of freelance stuff. It's my part-time hobby. You know, I have a 9-to-5. I work as a government contractor, DOD work. But writing has always been that bug that I can never get away from.
Yeah.
And so it was just me blogging about sporting events and concerts I go to, you know, concert reviews, you know, stuff like that, and things around town and restaurants. And then I started I wrote for the Tampa Bay Times for a little bit, just music, go to a concert, they pay you, you write a concert review, it gets posted on the website. Cool. Your concert costs are covered, and you get a byline and a little exposure in the newspaper.
And you have fun at the concert.
Exactly. It's win-win for everybody involved.
Absolutely.
So I did that for a little while, and I was still doing some sports. I did some writing about minor league baseball, which there's not very many people that write about minor league baseball here in Tampa Bay. So it was an easy niche for me to just kind of build a portfolio. And that's kind of when the idea of this book kind of came about, and I'll get to that in a moment. But since then, I've written for bigger and bigger sports blogs. And, you know, you kind of pitch an idea to somebody a little bit bigger. And you give them your bylines and what you've done at the smaller media venues
right.
or outlets. And then you just, okay, we'd love to have you. So, and it just keeps, it snowballs from there. It does.
It
just builds, you know.
It does. It definitely builds and snowballs. That's pretty much, I just started journaling as a kid. And then just one thing into the next. And then you go back and you start reading some of your journals. And you went, well, that's not too bad.
No, it's really not too bad. Or you find an idea that maybe you couldn't really develop. Maybe you weren't good enough or you didn't have the resources or the time to develop years ago. And you're like, let me bring that one back and let me redo that one
exactly.
a little bit better for a bigger audience and maybe with better research and maybe better expertise or maybe you know, whatever else you have at your fingertips at that point in your career, you can always, you know, readjust or revisit some of the stuff. I like to think, I guess Taylor Swift just did that with some of her catalog.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And
that's
the biggest artist in the world.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
she can go back and redo some of her previous work because it wasn't to her level, what's preventing me from doing
it? It's the same thing. When I first was starting to think about writing a book, I had done an audio CD workbook and book called The Stepping Stones of Life, and that was back in 2005. And I'd been trying to, my husband had been a former player with Buffalo, Tampa, and the Raiders and had become disabled from football, unfortunately. And we had gone through a lot of ups and downs in our family life and so forth. And I had been trying to get him to write The Flip Side of Glory, which one of the writers at Modesto Bee in California actually wrote an article, and he called it The Flip Side of Glory. And I said to Jeff, I said, you know what? If we're able to write a book, that's what we're going to call it, The Flip Side of Glory, because that's how our life has gone in a roller coaster ride trying to keep our faith going. But when that happened, it took me several years to really put it all together because he just couldn't emotionally write it. And then I kind of said, all right, it's do or die now. We're going to do it.
Right. Yeah, and this book, Curveball at the Crossroads, which is my debut fiction novel. You know, I've done nonfiction for, you know, websites, stuff like that. But this is my first foray into fiction. It's an eight-year thing. I wrote it in 2012, almost 10 years. I wrote it in about 2012-13. It was just a Word document sitting on my desktop. It's this big, rough ball of clay.
Right.
And I kept revisiting it, kind of working different scenes. Sent it to a buddy of mine named Jay Busby. He's a writer out of Atlanta. He writes for Yahoo Sports. And he's written some fiction books on the side as well. I was like, Jay, what do you think? And he's like, here's five different points of view that I have, you know, about this character or this scene, or, you know, maybe add a voice here or a voice there, you know, something like that. And I ran with about three of them. I was like, two of them weren't the best of fits. But I was like, there were three really strong ones, and I ran with that. So I basically took the book from page one to whatever and just added, embellished and added more dialogue and added this and added that, perspectives. And I was like, I'm good. Like, and then the pandemic hit and sports stopped.
Right.
And nobody knew how long sports were going to stop. I said, I have a sports story sitting on my desktop on my computer.
Wow.
Let's finish this thing and get it out there to sports fans who are hungry for sports. I went to a publisher and I'm struggling with how to say this because there's still some things we have to resolve with the old publisher.
Right.
So, but I wasn't happy as happy at the product as I probably could be.
Yeah.
And I know, again, I like to mention Taylor Swift and her redoing her own records and other music artists, you know, they'll re-release stuff that, you know, was maybe a demo back in the day or something. And so that's what I feel like. I feel like my first printing was basically my demo. And I got it out there. I got some really great reviews. I was voted runner-up in Book of the Year for In Creative Loafing, Tampa's Best of the
Bay. I saw that, yes.
So, and the person who won that was Tim Dorsey. Tim Dorsey has about 30 books out.
Yep.
He's a very prominent Florida-themed writer. So for me to be runner-up, I'm okay with that. You know, that just... Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of like... Carl Hyacin, Tim Dorsey, you know, there's some writers, even Ben Montgomery locally here in Tampa Bay, there's some writers that I know I'm not as good as or I'm not as experienced with, and they have a bigger name. And, you know, I met Ben a few months ago. He did a book signing, and I gave him one of my books, and he wrote a blurb for one of my books or for this book right here. And so I was like, I've got a co-sign by one of these really accomplished Florida writers. So, you know, I thanked him so much. I was like, thank you so much, because now people who know his name on the back of my book are going to say, wow, if he likes it, I'm going to like this.
You're going to like it.
And the goal is to pay that forward.
Exactly.
You know, years from now, if I can do the same to another upcoming writer, it's that fraternity or so of writers.
It is, and we're going to talk more about that. Be sure right now to start your day with Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. We are now doing a two-minute sports update at 8 a.m. That's 8 a.m. in the beautiful drive time every day on Sunshine 96.7 FM. So start your day with a recap of the day before and the preview of the current day. That's a daily Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection two-minute update at 8 a.m. on Sunshine 96.7 FM and our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network affiliates. So you were talking about how the way that we end up being creative in writing and the things that happen, and then one thing will just snowball into the next. I know when I was writing The Flip Side of Glory, and I mentioned it took me several years, and I had met a lady, she's a well-known romance novelist. I call her Joan Wilder. Her name is Joan Johnston, and she ended up buying my house. And as I was showing her through the house, as she knocked on the door, I said, oh, what do you do? She said, oh, well, I don't tell people, you know, I'm a writer. I said, what do you write? She said, I write romance novels. And I had never written or actually never read a romance novel until after I met Joan. But my point was, she's in 34 languages. She's with, you know, now she's with Harlequin. She's been with all the majors. And she would come to visit. from Denver and stay with me. And she was in the middle of editing. Her agent had sent her stuff to age to write and to redo. And if I had not seen Joan, I probably never would have finished the book.
Oh, wow.
Because I would come in and I'd hear her downstairs at 1 in the morning. Son of a blah, 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 mother. That, she wants me to redo this and this and this and this, and that means I got to rewrite 4 chapters and blah, blah, blah,
oh,
blah,
wow.
blah. And I'm thinking, you've been doing this for 22 years. You're in 34 languages, and you're having these kind of problems. And I'm like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And I had her write the foreword to my book. Praise God for that, because she's a New York Times bestseller. But,
oh, wow.
I was never so enthralled, and she gave me so much encouragement from watching her, realizing that, okay, you're going to have those bumps and grinds. You're going to have those stops. You're going to have those moments where you can't write anymore. You can't do anything. But then what happens? Then you go back and you take a breath and you get those aha moments.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And for me, you know, since I've published this book, a lot of people have asked me, said, well, I have a book idea. I have an idea. And the first thing I tell them, if it's fiction, where's your character beginning and where's your character going to end?
Yeah.
What is that conflict and the resolution? Because if you don't have just that, if you're like, oh, my life would make a great story and there's no conflict, there's nothing to really draw readers in.
Right.
Whether it's a unique story, which I'm sure you guys have from the pro sports perspective, or just something different. Because if it's like, oh, I go to work every day, like that's not, there's no obstacle that's really going to draw in a reader.
Right.
And it can be that in fiction, obviously, you can use your imagination more in a conflict. I can have space aliens or whatever.
Right.
But you need that conflict and you need to, like, the resolution. The resolution is vitally important, especially in fiction, because people don't just, okay, there was a conflict with a bad guy and, well, that's it. You know, there needs to be that resolution.
Yeah, and, you need the beginning, the middle, and the end.
Yes.
And you need all that in place. And then you know where you're going to go in the middle.
Right.
And in between that beginning and the middle and then the middle and the end, it definitely takes it to that place. But you've got to have that in place first in your kind of your outline and your summary.
Sure.
So you really know where you're going to go. And you're going to change that a million times anyway.
Yep. I had an outline. I had written an outline on one piece of paper. Like, it was character starts in this predicament or boom. Yeah, boom, 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 and then down to the end. And where do I want the character to be at the end? On one piece of paper.
So tell me a little bit about your latest book, your second edition.
Okay.
And tell me a little bit about the storyline.
So Curveball at the Crossroads is about a young pitcher. It's a baseball book, obviously, by the title. It's about a young pitcher who, in his final game in high school, he was kind of a cocky, arrogant star in high school. You know, he knew he was... He was off to bigger and better things, but he was small town Mississippi, and baseball was the only thing he had, you know, to get out of small town Mississippi. But he was good, and he knew it. And the scouts were at his games and everything.
Yeah.
In his final game, in the sixth inning of his final game, his arm just shatters, and it's a career-ending injury.
Wow.
And so for a high school student in small town Mississippi, his dreams are gone. And he kind of gets into trouble, in the first few chapters, he kind of gets in trouble with the law and things like that. And he just kind of gives up and he just wanders. And he ends up at the crossroads. And it's the old dirt highway crossroads. It's very
cliche.
Which
way am I going to go?
Yep. And the devil taps him on the shoulder at night and is like, hey, I can, if you give me your soul, your arm will be bigger and better and stronger and faster than you've ever thrown in your life. And so he sells his soul to the devil for a chance to get back into baseball. And at 21 years old, or 20 years, that's not a decision that a lot of people would not make. Here's all this fame. And,
exactly.
You know, what am I going to do with the soul? Because, you know, he was wayward, he was lost, and he made a deal with the devil. So he works his way up through the pros, and the devil shows up every once in a while. He's like, hey, hi, I'm still here. Remember our deal.
Oh, wow.
And he finally makes it to the majors. He's an all-star and everything like that, and the devil comes back, and then that's the conflict. So,
okay.
Definitely
all
no
right,
spoilers.
Good. It sounds like something I'm going to have to pick up and read.
Please do. Yeah.
Because now I want to know what the ending is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's got some really great reviews. As I said, Ben Montgomery reviewed it. Gave me a great review. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports. A couple other folks locally, a lot of podcasters I was sending it to. And I've sent out, out of the first edition printing, which was about 250, I think I sent out about 60.
Are you, where are you located? Are you on Amazon and Kindle? And
yep.
I know you're on Goodreads with me.
Yep. So that's the big thing between the first edition and second edition. The first edition was very limited. And people either had to go through me or the publisher. And I was like, it needs to be everywhere. So with the second edition, I went through Ingram Spark, which is a self-publishing platform, and they distribute the book. So they'll print it and distribute it.
Right.
And next thing I knew, it was on Amazon. I didn't have to send it to Amazon. Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com. You can go to Walmart.com and order my book, which is super cool. I was like, wow.
Right.
Everywhere. Local bookstores. Tombalo Books, which is right down here in South St. Pete. Book and Bottle is in South St. Pete. You can order, go to either one of those local bookstores and get it. Any local bookstore that has a search bar that says find book,
right,
they can order it.
Right. Mine the same way. So I'm all over, and I'm on Kindle and Nook and Amazon. I did, after my publisher decided to retire, I ended up going over. She put me over in touch with CreateSpace, and so I'm on CreateSpace now, which is great because it's on-demand printing, so I don't have to have. I just ordered some more books for some autograph signings, but I love that aspect of it, because back in the old days, we're buying, you know, you've got all these books that are printed, and yep. And the one thing that, and I'm sure you had to run into this too, when I was first wanting to write The Flip Side of Glory, which is about a story about love, acceptance, and hope, and my husband being a former NFL football player and being disabled at 30 years old, the things that we went through as a family, and it's faith-based. But in going through all of those things, it was something that took me to the next level of trying to decide. I had Wiley and a couple other publishers want to pick me up, but I wanted my story out now.
Right.
And that was the conflict that I had. And so I had another girlfriend here with my writers group here, my Florida Writers Association, and she said, hey, I have Serena Press. I'll publish it for you. So that's what we ended up doing, so I could get it out a lot quicker, because I wouldn't have the book out for a year and a half. And at that time, all the disability, all the chronic traumatic encephalopathy things that my husband did pass away of at stage 3 CTE was all coming out. And my book needed timing.
Right.
Yeah. And just like yours, when you're saying, hey, you know, COVID hit,
yep,
there's no sports, this is the perfect time to come back and make it work.
Yeah, 100%. And that was kind of it's been a learning experience, because I went through the small publisher and he rushed out a product. And I wasn't too happy with the product.
First book was rushed too from another friend of mine, and I still can't get it off of Amazon to this day because they had gone to all the other distributors.
Well, it's tough to get a book off of Amazon because once your book is sold, somebody could easily resell that book and use Amazon as a resale market. And so I said, all right, the first printing, it's going to exist. And there's only about 250 of them. So cool. If this second edition blows up and it's on Oprah and it's on New York Times bestseller, then cool. If you have one of the first editions, it's probably going to grow in value.
Exactly.
So let me give that as a gift to my loyal, to the first people who bought that. You bought it for X amount of money. It's going to be hopefully more because I'm hustling this second version out.
Exactly.
On so many places and
exactly.
So many platforms.
Exactly. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about, with you being a baseball fanatic.
Sure.
I want to walk you or have some thoughts that, from you about the lockout.
Okay. So owners are always to blame. Players are not to blame. Players are just labor. Let's start with that. I saw an interesting.
I'm gonna say to the audience right now who don't know what a lockout is.
Okay.
All right. The last Major League Baseball and MLB Players Association was negotiated back in 2016. So the collective bargaining agreement has come out now, and what's happening is the free agency arbitrage. All of those things are addressed. With players, with free agency, with arbitration, with all the extra new benefits that a lot of the players want, which, you know, obviously players always want more money. What did you think about Franco?
So Wander Franco, I mean, he's a generational talent and hopefully stays healthy and is a Hall of Fame talent, you know, and in the lines of a lot of the other superstars that we're seeing come up in baseball, Fernando Tatis Jr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And all these other superstars. And so the goal of some of these teams is just lock these people in for 10, 15 years, and they'll play 75% or whatever of their career for one team. You've got them, and you never have to worry about them again. You know, and then and their contracts are award benefits. You know, if he finishes in the top five in MVP, if he finishes MVP, he gets X more millions more. And the goal is to build a franchise along with these superstar generational talents.
Yes, which right now, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be amazing.
Yes.
For $183 million, he should be.
He should be, but and the reason I said straight off the when you asked is that the owners are always to blame because billionaires own baseball teams.
Yes.
You know, baseball teams are not mom-and-pop shops.
Right. So, it's like the NFL franchise owners.
Yes. So franchises, all sports franchises are predominantly owned by billionaires. And billionaires don't like to pay people. Billionaires like to make money.
Right.
Because that's what they've done. They're very good at it. And I saw a stat that said only about 2% of Major League Baseball players make over $20 million. Now, $20 million is a lot of money to the average fan.
Yes.
But only 2%. Most Major League Baseball players, the average Major League salary is $4 million. Which, again, for the average fan, that's a lot of money. But your superstars have this top tier of pay. And then your average salary hasn't increased in over 6 years.
Right.
It's been about $4 to $4.5 million for 6 years. Meanwhile, billionaires are getting richer. TV contracts are doubling. Major League Baseball's online revenue is soaring. So the players are like, hey, our average salaries aren't going up. And you've got teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Tampa Bay Rays to a point, who shuttle people up and down from the minor leagues when they're not playing them. So when they go down to the minor leagues, the minor league average pay is far lower.
Much lower. So with that thought, let's talk about tanking.
Yes. Tanking's also an issue. You got teams like the Rays don't do it as much. So
Right. Credit
to the Rays for keeping a good product on the field. That's going to be competitive.
I love Joe Maddon and what he used to do in bringing up some of those players, you know, and
yep.
He would just make a quick decision. All right, get so-and-so up. Get so-and-so. Let's bring them up right now. I mean,
yep.
And that's how I think he was so successful, too.
So Kevin Cash has done pretty much the same thing.
He has.
He's been an expert managing that roster. And the Rays used, I think, over 50 pitchers last year, which is insane. I mean, they brought another pitcher up every week. And by doing that, you know, you're constantly that roster churn, and they stay competitive, though.
Yeah.
The Rays stay competitive because they're using the analytics, and they're using, you know, when to use this guy, when to use that guy. That's
right.
A whole other conversation.
Right.
But they're staying competitive. But then you got a lot of other teams. You know, you got teams that just willfully just tank their roster, trade their stars, don't bother bringing up good talent, don't bother drafting good talent. So the money that they make from fans and from cable goes straight into the owners' pockets.
Yeah.
And the owners... So, say an owner has a billionaire team, and he's taking 25% of the profits from the team. Well, a team like the Rays, he might only be taking 10%. You know, and so if the owner's taking more money and not putting the money back into the, I mean, it's his business. I get it. You know,
right.
Who is Major League Baseball to tell an owner, hey, put more money into the team? But it hurts the overall product.
Right.
It hurts the overall reputation of Major League Baseball when teams are not competitive. When you lose 100 games a season for more than one or two seasons, your organization is failing.
Well, and people forget how many games these baseball players, basketball players play. You know, my husband was playing, you know, 17 weeks, but then a lot of the off season as well, you know, staying in shape for those 17 weeks and trying to keep from injuries. But these guys, I got to hand it to them because, baseball isn't as strenuous, but still, you gotta have your game on. You gotta be in shape. Basketball players, these guys, I mean, they just live and breathe it.
Yep, they're athletes 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
And you know, I follow some of them on Instagram, and they're in the gym. You know, they're in the gym. They got their personal gyms or whatever it is. They got their trainers. They get, you know, they're showing their diets and everything like that. They are athletes. To play at that level of professional sports, you need to focus your entire year on it. And why not be compensated as such? if you were one of the top 400 baseball players in the world,
right,
be compensated as such, especially from the billionaire who's making billions off of your, you know, right, your abilities. So why has the average salary not increased in 6 years?
Right.
And so the players are like, hey, can we get some more? And the owner's like, no, and we're locking the doors on you. And there's no baseball. And so the players are kind of like, hey, we want some more money. Or we want to be free agents faster. Or we want to, whatever the case is,
right,
in our careers.
Do you think we'll be ready by, hopefully it won't happen, but if it does, do you think we will be ready for, I mean, the doors are already locked, so
right,
at 12:01 on Wednesday, but do you think it's going to push our spring training and everything back? I think it'll be underway way before then, personally.
Yeah, because February 15th is when pitchers and catchers start reporting to spring
right
training, middle of February-ish. I don't think we're going to have a problem. I think it gets resolved in January. I think it goes through the holidays because nobody wants to meet during the holidays.
Right.
But I think that I think it gets resolved in January. Now, where that's going to hurt teams is season tickets.
Yeah.
Because teams, you know, ticket sales, and people are going to be like, well, you're going to have a season. And the ticket sales folks are going to be like, well, we hope so, so please buy season tickets. For a team like the Rays, it's going to really hurt because, you know, the Rays' long-term stability is questionable here in Tampa Bay anyway.
Right.
So, and that's another thing that the players' union wants to say, hey, if you're going to start moving teams around, you're going to start doing stuff like that, what's in it for us?
Right, exactly.
And the players' union is the strongest union in sports.